कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लवा के भर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा बन जारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्या प्रभो नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि भक्तवृंद, श्री कृष्णा चैतन्या हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय जय गुरुदेव 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 जय जय गुरुदेव ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे विल बी Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Verse 10. Suta uvacha Atmaramascha munayo Nirgantha api urkarme Kurvanti ahutukim bhaktim Itham bhuta guno hari సూత ఉవాచ ఆత్మారమశ్చ మునయో నిర్ఘంత అపి ఉర్కర్మే కుర్వంతి అయుత్ కిం భక్తిం ఇథం భూతా గుణో హరి సూత ఉవాచ ఆత్మారమశ్చ మునయో నిర్ఘంతా అపి ఉర్కమే కుర్వంతి అయుతు కిం భక్తిం ఇతం భూతా గుణో హరి Suta Vacha, Suta Goswami said, Atmanaha, those who take pleasure in Atma, Cha, also, Munaya, sages, Nirgantaha, freed from all bondage, api, in spite of, urukarame, onto the great adventurer, kurvanti, do, ahyutakim, unalloyed, bhaktim, devotional service, itam bhuta, such wonderful, guna, qualities, hari, of the Lord. The translations as follows. All different varieties of Atma Ramas, those who take pleasure in Atma or Spirit Self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though free from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service onto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, included liberated souls. The purport is as follows. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this Atma Rama Sloka very vividly before his chief devotee, Srila Sanatan Goswami. He points out 11 factors in the sloka, namely Atma Rama, Munaya, Nirganta, Api, Cha, Urukarame, Kurvanti, Ahutakim, Bhaktim, Itam Bhuta Guna, and Hariya. According to the Vivesha Prakasha Sanskrit dictionary, there are 7 synonyms for the word Atma Rama, which are as follows. Brahma, the absolute truth, that was the first. Second, body. Third, mind. Fourth, endeavor. Fifth, endurance. Sixth, intelligence. And 7th, personal habits. The word Munya refers to, number one, those who are thoughtful. Second, those who are grave and silent. Third, ascetics. Fourth, the persistent. Fifth, mendicants. Sixth, sages. And 7th, saints. The word Nirghanta conveys these ideas. First, one who is liberated from near sense. Second, one who has no connection with scriptural injunctions. That is, who is free from the obligation of the rules and regulations mentioned in the revealed scriptures like ethics, Vedas, philosophy, psychology and metaphysics, physics. In other words, the fools, illiterate, urchins, etc. who have no connection with regulative principles. Third, a capitalist. And four, and also fourth, one who is penniless. According to the Subkosha dictionary, the affix ni is used in the sense of number one, certainty, second, counting, third, building, fourth, forbiddance, and the word grantha is used in the sense of wealth, thesis, vocabulary, etc. The word urukarma means the one whose activities are glorious. Karma means step. This word urukarma specifically indicates the Lord's incarnation as Vamana, who covered the whole universe by immeasurable steps. Lord Vishnu is powerful and his activities are so glorious that he has created the spiritual world by his internal potency and the material world by his external potency. By his all-pervading features, he is everywhere present as the Supreme Truth, and in his personal feature, he is always present in his transcendent abode of Golok Vrindavan, where he displays his transcendental pastimes in all variegatedness. His activities cannot be compared to anyone's else, and therefore the word Urukarma is just applicable to him only. According to Sanskrit verbal arrangement, Kurvanti refers to doing things for someone else. Therefore, it means that the Atma Rama render devotional service unto the Lord, not for personal interest, but for the pleasure of the Lord, Urukarma. Hetu means casual. There are many causes for one's sense gratification, and they can be chiefly classified as material enjoyment, mystic powers and liberation, which are generally desired by progressive persons. As far as material enjoyments are concerned, they are innumerable, and the materialists are engaged to increase them more and more because they are under the illusionary energy. There is no end to the list of material enjoyments, nor can anyone in the material universe have all of them. As far as the mystic powers are concerned, there are 8 in all, such as to become the minutest in form, to become weightless, to have anything one desires, to lord it over the material nature, to control other living beings, to throw earthly globes in outer space, etc. These mystic powers are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. The forms of liberation are 5 in number. Therefore, unalloyed devotion means service to the Lord without desire for the above mentioned personal benefits. And the powerful personality of God, Sri Krishna, can be fully satisfied by such unalloyed devotees, free from all sorts of desires for personal benefit. Om Gyante Binandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunu Mintam Jena Tasme Sri Guruhe Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Mena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadam Gitam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakamitam Sha, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namustute, Taptakanchan Gaurangi, Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari, Vishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpa Taruvesha Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So thank you to all of yourselves for coming for the Bhagavatam class. So in this sloka, there's mention of Atmaramas. Atmaram means those who take pleasure in Atma or spirit self. In the purport, there's mention that there are 11 factors in this sloka. And in the purport, there's a very long purport. I read the first half only. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that if one analyzes this sloka word by word and interprets it, the meaning comes out that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable transcendental qualities. And the liberated souls take pleasure in discussing them, thinking about them, pondering over them. The point is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has unlimited transcendental qualities. And the more we discuss about them, the more purification happens in the heart, the more bliss we experience in spiritual life. Now Krishna, he has many, many transcendental qualities. One is that Krishna is the protector of his surrendered devotees. In the scriptures, it is mentioned that there was a particular enemy of Krishna. And he became very enlivened by the thought that Krishna is protector of the surrendered person. So he had in his mind, even though he was an enemy of Krishna, he had in his mind that when I fight with Krishna, and if I'm going to get killed, I'll just take shelter of Krishna, I'll surrender to him, and Krishna will forgive me. So just by the thought, this enemy of Krishna was very enlivened. As you say, Bombay's language, you say, Bindas. You know, he was like very casual, you know, very enlivened. And in fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 63, there's the story of Banasur. Banasur had 1,000 hands, and he was fighting with Krishna. So when he was fighting with Krishna, on his side there was a demon called Shiv Jwara. Shiv Jwara was a very, very fearful person. He basically had 3 heads, 3 feet, 6 arms, and 9 eyes. I imagine I'm such a demon. And it said in the Bhagavatam that he resembled like Yamaraj at the time of the universal annihilation. So fearful. So, you know, very, people would just, when looking at him, be scared. And he was on side of Banasur. And he was fighting with Krishna. And he wanted to kill Krishna. And while fighting, obviously, I'm like, who can defeat Krishna? So, as he was fighting with Shiv Jwara, he understood that Krishna to mere bas ki baat nahi hai. He is much above me. I'm going to get killed now. He understood. So when Shiv Jwara understood that he is going to get killed, what did he do? He just left all his arms, he dropped all his weapons and went and took shelter of Krishna. Touched Krishna's feet and said, Krishna,
I'm surrendering to you. So Krishna forgave him and Krishna accepted him. This is the quality of Krishna. This should give us supreme hope. When we hear such stories, we should understand, you know, we have so many anarthas, so many, you know, inadequacies we have. But if we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna will accept us and Krishna will purify us. Then, in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 2, text 23, in the purport, Prabhupada writes very nicely. Prabhupada writes, I'll read you the exact words. Prabhupada writes, Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putna because she pretended to be an affectionate mother. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. This is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter? What a beautiful purport. In fact, this one line which really struck me, this line. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. Now, what a beautiful statement. Huh? You know, we don't deserve to be in the path of bhakti. We don't deserve to have been given this fantastic gift of devotional service. What qualification do we have? No one can say that, okay, at least I have 1% qualification that Krishna should engage me in the process of bhakti. We can't even say that, 1%. If you go in percentage, we'll go in negative. But just see, our Supreme Lord Krishna is so compassionate, so benevolent, so much thinking of a benefit that we don't deserve this path of bhakti, but still He gives it to us. And when we're speaking of Krishna as the protector of surrendered souls, especially Krishna is very bold in when giving protection to his devotees. Very bold. You see the story of Kaliya, the way Krishna jumped in the river, the way he danced on Kaliya's hood and, you know, and tamed Kaliya. Then you see the way Krishna dealt with Aristasur so boldly, Krishna dealt with Agasur, KCD, in a bold way, and, you know, kill them. So Krishna is very bold in protecting his devotees. When you're talking of boldness, there's a true story, there's a modern story. I know of this case, I know of this person. There was a child, he had just finished passing his sixth standard. He just finished his sixth grade from one school. And for some reason, he had to change his school. So in his area, there was this army public school. This is in the northern states. So this boy who just finished the sixth standard, he went for the interview to army public school to be taken in the seventh grade. And while interviewing, there was two army officers taking the interview. One was a colonel and the other was a little lower ranking officer. So this student who had just passed the sixth grade, he was sitting across. So this colonel told this boy in the interview, there were many children for interview and very limited seats. So this colonel told the boy in the interview, do something different and show me. Kuch alag karke dikhao. So this boy, he gave the colonel a tight slap on his cheek. It's a true story. Colonel bola na, kuch alag karke dikhao. I doubt whether the colonel ever in his dreams also thought this, he would get an answer like that for such a question. Colonel is a high ranking officer. He got the slap. So, for some time he was just a little startled. But he was a man of sense and he was a man of intelligence. So this colonel told the boy, okay, ho gaya tumhara, you're in. And the colonel told this boy that at such a young age, if you can be so bold, so dread, I'm like, you know, daredevil and so with so much guts, I can imagine if you grow big and if you be an army officer, what type of guts you can exhibit. And the colonel took him. I doubt after this interview whether this colonel ever asks another student the same question, you know. But the thing is, you know, Krishna very bold in protecting his devotees. Then, another quality of Krishna is that Krishna is dependable. In the Nectar of Devotion, there's a very nice explanation. What does dependable mean? I'll read you the exact word. The Nectar of Devotion, it is mentioned that any person who is reliable in all circumstances is called dependable. What a very simple and sweet definition. Now, in this context, the demons, they were always at war with the demigods. And the demons, you know, but the demons had confidence in the dependent on the quality of Krishna of dependability. The demons knew that Krishna is very dependable, and Krishna will not attack us without any due cause. They were confident of this quality of Krishna, that Krishna hame phokat ka, he will not attack on us phokat ka, you know. So because of this quality of Krishna, which the demons knew, the demons, when they would sleep at night, they would open the doors of the house and sleep. Because they knew, Krishna will not attack us without any due cause. Sort of sweet thing. And at the same time, the demons were always at war with the... Sorry, at the same time, the demigods. The demigods were always at war with the demons. And they would... So, even though there would be a lot of war and stressful times, the demigods had full confidence in Krishna that if we go to Krishna for help, Krishna will 100% help us. They are confident. And because of that quality, the demons, in spite of the wars going on and a lot of stress, the demigods, in spite of the war going on and a lot of stress, the demigods would engage in sportive activities. And they say, well, then Brindas look Aram say, you know. So just imagine the quality of dependability of Krishna. And say, for example, if one has a glass, and in that glass, there's black ink filled. And you start pouring water in it. Slowly that dark color, black ink will become lighter, light black, little lighter, lighter. And the way you keep on pouring water, finally that black color will disappear. And what will be left? A transparent, you know, the water, pure water will be left, which will be transparent, pure. So the same way, our hearts, just now it's full of anarthas. The mountain of anarthas, which are in our heart, this mountain of anarthas will make Mount Everest look like an ant. Now this mountain of anarthas, when we keep on hearing Krishna Katha, when we keep on pondering about Krishna's activities and pastimes, these anarthas slowly, slowly start getting wiped off. Slowly start this big Himalayan mountains, they start becoming smaller, 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 and eventually no mountain will be left. So, but the point is, we have to keep on hearing Krishna Katha, keep on hearing Krishna's activities. This will purify our anarthas. Then another quality of Krishna is that Krishna is determined. Again, in the scriptures, a very nice definition is given of determined. It is said, any person who observes regulative principles and fulfills his promises by practical activity is called determined. Very nice definition. Now regarding this, once Satyabhama told Krishna that I want the Parijat flower. Parijat is a special flower which grows only in Indra's abode. So Krishna promised his queen Satyabhama, okay, I will get you the Parijat flower. But when Krishna went to take the Parijat flower, Indra refused to give it. But, you know, somehow Indra got caught up in some illusion. And Indra didn't want to give it. So Krishna raised a full war, a very big war with Indra, defeated him and got the Parijat flower. So Krishna is very determined in whatever he says. Krishna, whatever ek bar bol dete hai, he will fulfill. He's determined to fulfill it. Just for a Parijat flower, Krishna waged a full war with Indra and got the flower. In the same way, in fact, from this pastime, it should give us a lot of hope. Why? Because Krishna mentioned in the scriptures that if anyone surrenders to me, it is my promise I will deliver him. So if Krishna for a flower could wage a full war, if in a whatever condition, capacity, we are trying to surrender to Krishna, trying to serve him, trying to love him, imagine Krishna will go to extreme heights to protect us, to purify us. Then, another quality of Krishna is that Krishna is a pleasing talker. Pleasing talker. Now again, the scriptures give a definition. What does a pleasing talker mean? The scriptures in the Nectar of Devotion is mentioned. A person who can speak sweetly, even with his enemy, Just to pacify him is called a pleasing talker. Oh, what a nice definition. And in this context, when Krishna, he was, you know, when he jumped in the Yamuna and danced on Kaliya and subdued Kaliya. So Kaliya, in the end, he understood Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he surrendered to Krishna. So then, now Krishna had danced on the head of Kaliya, and when Krishna was dancing, and when Kaliya was trying to attack Krishna, that time Krishna was dancing on the hood of Kaliya, and still somehow Kaliya was trying to bite Krishna and kill Krishna. And Krishna was dancing on Kaliya's hood. It was like thunderbolts to Kaliya, like very painful to Kaliya. So then in the end, Kaliya was subdued and Kaliya was folding his hands in front of Krishna. Then just see what Krishna tells Kaliya. I'll read you the exact statement. Krishna says to Kaliya, "My dear king of the snakes, although I have given you so much pain, please do not be dissatisfied with me. It is my duty to protect these cows, which are worshipped even by the demigods. Only in order to save them from the danger of your presence have I been obliged to banish you from this place." And Krishna was how many years old? He was 4 to 5 years old when Krishna was speaking this. Just see what a pleasing talker. I mean, when I read this, it was one of the very sweetest and pleasing thing I could have heard. If you see here, Krishna is very sensitive. Krishna is very humble. Krishna is very respectful. You talk all these positive qualities. Krishna has put it all in these 2-3 statements. And when I read this, I was thinking, just imagine Krishna was what? 4 to 5 years old when he's speaking like this. You take today's world, a child who's 4 or 5 years old, what is the activities? Mummy, ye khilana chahiye, ye toy chahiye, ye khane ko chahiye. They're doing masti, somersaulting here, there. Papa, mummy have to go behind them. Arey, beta, ye tod, ye mat karo, don't do this. Ye toot jayega, ve ho jayega, tera haat toot jayega, pair toot jayega, bed toot jayega, aisa mat karo, So, when a 4 or 5 child speaking like this, that it's only the Supreme Personality of Godhead when his age of 4 and 5 can speak like this. This proves that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any child who can speak like this at the age of 4 and 5 is proved by itself that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Obviously, there are thousands of other proofs to prove why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one thing is just, any person, child who is talking like this at the age of 4 or 5 has to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, another thing is that, however powerful our opponent may be, but if we have Krishna on our side, however powerful your opponent may be, but if we have Krishna on our side, we will always be victorious. This was very nice to demonstrate in the Mahabharata through Bhishma Pitama. Bhishma Pitama, he was one of the greatest archers of his time, greatest warrior of his time, undefeatable. But he was fighting for Duryodhan. He was fighting for Duryodhan against the Pandavas. And even though Bhishma Pitama was the greatest warrior of his time, even though he was fighting against the Pandavas, but because Krishna was on the other side, Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas, Bhishma Pitama was defeated. So this shows that however powerful our opponent may be, but if we have Krishna on our side, we will be victorious. And we have to understand, in this material world, when we have taken to devotional process, who are we fighting against? We are fighting against Maya. And do we know who's Maya? At least, I have intellectually little bit understood the power of Maya. Maya is God. So powerful. Maya, big tapasvi saints and bade spiritual hasti, unko Maya ek second mein niche gira di thi. Hum log kaun sa khet ke muli hai? There's a saying in Hindi. Maya is so powerful. She's the external energy of Krishna. There's no question of we defeating her. Impossible. If we compare ourselves to Maya, if we are like an ant, Maya Dev is like, you take Mount Everest and you multiply that by trillions of times. That is her size and we are like ant in front of her. What hope we do have against her? But yes, if we keep Krishna on our side, our size will become trillion times more higher and more bigger than Maya Devi. That is our hope. Keeping Krishna on our side. But what does keeping Krishna on our side mean? At a particular time, Duryodhana also had Krishna on his side. But that, did that have any meaning? No. When we speak of keeping Krishna on our side, it means following the instructions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastras. And that also not just for a minute. Keeping Krishna on our side means we have to be following Guru, Sadhu and Shastras at every moment till our dying breath. That means keeping Krishna on our side. And if you do that, however powerful Mayadevi shows her power, still because we have Krishna on our side, in the end, we will be victorious. Then, another aspect is when Dushasan was disrobing Draupadi. When Dushasan was disrobing Draupadi, Draupadi cried out, "Hey Govinda!" And Krishna says that just because of this cry of Draupadi, I'm eternally in debt and obliged to her. Now just imagine, these are the exact words. Krishna says, I am eternally in debt and obliged to Draupadi. For what? Draupadi just calling once what? Hey Govinda. So imagine, when we are chanting the Mahamantra, it's a cry to the Lord. Krishna becomes obliged to us even for the smallest service when a living entity renders. If even for a second we have rendered some service to Krishna, Krishna for eternally will remember that. Eternally. And there's, you know, in the, there's a very nice thing mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, that when Jambavan served Lord Ram very faithfully and did a lot of service for Lord Ram, and Ram never forgot it. And when in the Krishna avatar, Krishna still remembered the service which Jambavan had rendered. And Krishna, in Krishna avatar, he wanted to show his gratefulness to Jambavan. And he showed a lot of supreme respect to Jambavan. And he married Jambavan's daughter Jambavati. Out of obligation and respect for Jambavan. So Krishna, you know, he always remembers even the smallest service a living entity renders. Then, another quality of Krishna is that Krishna is heroic. Now, Krishna is heroic. It is said that Jarasandh, with his 13 division of soldiers, he attacked Krishna and his army. 13 divisions. Certain division is a very big amount of soldiers. And in that war, Krishna and Krishna's army defeated all the army of Jarasandh, and Jarasandh had to flee away. But not a single soldier on Krishna's side got even a scratch. That is Krishna's heroicness. Imagine, not one soldier on Krishna's side even got a scratch. In today's, you know, in Hindi movies, if the hero has to come, the hero will come, he's unarmed. And there will maybe 100 villains in front of him with all sophisticated guns and weapons. And this hero kills everyone. And the hero may not have a scratch also, you know. But this is, you know, maybe it's a shadow reflection of this Krishna's heroic deeds. It's impossible in today's world, you know, a person without any weapon and 100 people come to attack him and he defeats everyone without a scratch. This can happen only in Hindi movies, you know. But the point is, Krishna is so heroic that he defeats the full army of Jarasandha, and not a soldier has got even a scratch on them. Then, Krishna loves us and he is with us even when it appears he is not. What happens in our challenging times, when you go through our challenging times and go through our down times, we think, God, is Krishna still with me? Krishna ko malum hai ki ek Srivas Thakur Das idhar Bombay bhi hai kya? You know, we think, you know, like that. But we may feel, in fact, we sometimes may forget Krishna also. Sometimes when we come under the illusionary energy, sometimes even as a sadhaka, we may forget Krishna. But Krishna never forgets us. Krishna never forgets us. When the living entity finally, after a lot of purification, goes back to the spiritual world, Krishna embraces him. Krishna sheds tears. Krishna, out of love and affection, becomes unconscious. And then Krishna gains consciousness. And then Krishna tells this living entity that there was not a single moment when my eyes were not on you. Imagine, there are zillions and zillions of living entities. But Krishna tells that there was not a time when for even a moment when my eyes were not away from you. At every moment I was observing you. When you did something which was not pleasing to me or something contrary to the principles which I have given, it would pain my heart. But when you would do something which is for the which is mentioned in the scriptures is favorable, it would please me. So the point is, Krishna never forgets us. And Kunti Maharani had tremendous trouble in her life. So much trouble she went right from her childhood, when she got married and she lost her husband at a young age. Her five children, when they were small, Bhima was fed poison. Duryodhan and his whole party, they tried to torture and tried to put the small Pandavas in so many difficulties. And when they grew up also, so much injustice was being done. So much trouble Kunti Maharani went through. But she referred to Krishna as the master of all sweetness. And obviously, Kunti Maharani knew that not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's sanction. But still, in spite of going through all this difficulty, all these challenges, what does Kunti Maharani refer to Krishna as? She refers to Krishna as the master of all sweetness. And through sweetness, and when we refer to sweetness, you know, when Krishna's small friends, Gopa friends, when Krishna was small and the Gopa friends small, when night would come, Krishna would go back, and at night time, Krishna would go to sleep. Then when it was night, Krishna's Gopa friends would come and knock at Nanda Baba's house. Tuck, 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 tuck. And when Nanda Baba would open the house, Krishna's friends, small friends, you know, they would say, Baba, when will Krishna come out to play with us? Nanda Baba said, Arey, it is already night. Please go, go, go. Then Nanda Baba would close his door again. Again, after some time, Nanda Baba would hear some knock on his door. Tuck, 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 tuck. Then Nanda Baba would open. Again, those Gopa friends would be standing. Nanda Baba, when will Krishna come out and play with us? Nanda Baba said, I just told you all that it's already night. Whole day you all have played. It is so night. Now please go and sleep. And the Gopa boys, and the small boys, you know, when their desires are unfulfilled, they'll make faces. Tikka, you know. And you know, they would go back to their house. The point is, you know, Krishna's friends, they were so attached to Krishna, they couldn't stay a moment without Krishna. This is the love of the Gopas for Krishna. And when you're talking of sweetness, once there was a story, once Radharani and Krishna, they were walking in Vrindavan. When they were walking in Vrindavan, Radharani saw a tree and there was a very nice fruit hanging. So Radharani told Krishna, Krishna, please get that fruit for me. So Krishna climbed up on that tree. Krishna plucked that fruit and handed it over to Radharani. So Radharani divided that fruit in two parts. And she gave one to Krishna. And the first half she ate very fast. When she ate it, she told Krishna, wow, such a nice fruit it is. You do one thing. What your partner, you make that into two parts again. And give me the part, half of that again. Krishna said, okay. So Radharani took Krishna's part and divided it in two, and Radharani ate it. When Radharani ate it, she said, wow, such a wonderful fruit, so sweet. Krishna, do one thing. The small part which is in your hand, please make it into two and give me another half also. Krishna is saying, okay, okay. Then Radharani took that small fruit part and Radharani divided that small part into two. And Radharani ate that. Krishna, Radharani said, wow, so nice fruit. And Krishna had a small part only. Now, and Krishna had not yet eaten. And Radharani is saying to Krishna, Krishna, do one thing. That fruit which you have in your hand is so nice. Give me half of that also. Krishna is scratching his head. Krishna says, okay, okay. You know, the small fruit Krishna gave to Radharani. And Radharani divided that also in two parts. And Krishna, and then Radharani immediately ate it. And this time, before Radharani could say something, Krishna knew. If Radharani has this, she will again tell me, divide my small part into two. I will be left with nothing, practically. Before Radharani could speak anything now, Krishna imaged a small part which was offered in his hand. Krishna put it in his mouth and started eating. As Krishna put it in his mouth, Krishna made a different face. Krishna told Radharani, this is so sour. This fruit is so sour. You were saying it is so sweet, it's so nice, but it's so sour. Then Radharani put her head down. Then Radharani told that, actually, you know, Krishna, when the first time itself, when I made it in two parts, and when I had my part, that time itself, it was so sour. I didn't want you to go through the inconvenience of having something sour. Such a sweet and wonderful thing. Radharani did not want Krishna to go through something inconvenience of having to taste that sour thing. This is the quality of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, he's ready to take up all types of inconvenience, all types of inconvenience just to serve Krishna, to make Krishna happy. In fact, it was, I think, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or Bhaktivinoda Thakur who made a statement that, my dear Lord, the inconvenience which I take on your behalf are my greatest ecstasies because I know that in them you are most pleased. This is quality of a Vaishnava. Then, the another quality of Krishna is very, very beautiful. Now, in today's modern world, suppose, especially in the Indian marriages, if husband and wife are going, sometimes the husband gets delayed. You know why? Because the wife is trying to do her makeup, trying to do all the jewelry and everything. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's quite natural that women want to get, you know, decked up and put a lot of jewelry. Why do the women want to put jewelry? Because they want to look beautiful. But when Krishna wears jewelry, the jewelry becomes beautified. Just see. Krishna doesn't need to wear jewelry to look beautiful. When Krishna wears jewelry, because Krishna is wearing the jewelry becomes more beautified. That is the beauty of Lord Krishna. Like we were speaking about Krishna's qualities. Like we were mentioning, Krishna is the protector of his surrendered devotees. In the Mahabharata, there's this wonderful, beautiful story. After the Mahabharata war got over, Satyaki, who was on Krishna's side, who was with the Pandavas, he was also a great warrior. So after the Mahabharata war got over, Satyaki, he went to Lord Krishna. And Satyaki told Lord Krishna, that, my dear Lord, I have a doubt, I have a question, can I ask you? Lord Krishna said, yes, please ask me. So Satyaki said, my dear Lord, Karna, he had the Shakti weapon with him. Shakti weapon which was given by Indra. And Indra had given this weapon, Shakti weapon to Karna. And Indra had told Karna that whoever you use this weapon on, that person will get killed. But you can use it only once. So Satyaki told Krishna that Indra had this Shakti weapon. And Indra's arch enemy, Karna's arch enemy was Arjun. And Karna somehow wanted to kill Arjun always. But in spite of Karna having this Shakti weapon, why did not Karna use it on Arjun? This is my doubt. Satyaki asked Lord Krishna a very nice question. So Krishna smiled. Krishna said that Karna may be having the Shakti weapon, but it is I who give the remembrance for anything to anyone. So the thing was, even though Karna was having the Shakti weapon with him, Krishna took away the remembrance from Karna that he's having the Shakti weapon. So this is how the Lord goes to any extent to protect and please his devotees. And like we were mentioning, that when we hear these pastimes of Krishna, when we discuss the pastimes of Krishna, it purifies the anarthas from within our heart and it gives us an unshakable faith in Lord Krishna. In this context, I will tell this one story and I'll end this class with that. This is regarding this Kunti Mataji. Kunti Mataji, who was Srila Prabhupada's disciple. Now, Kunti Mataji was Srila Prabhupada's disciple. She was in her 40s and she got this dreadful disease, cancer. And she was on her end stage. Basically, from her waist downwards, it was paralyzed. She could not move. And she was in her 40s. And the doctors told her that probably you will live for another 6 months or so. And she was staying in a place called Uta. So, and she was still very blissful in her Krishna consciousness. So, the TV crew in that area, they heard that there's a lady who's got cancer and she'll be dying and she's very blissful. So, the TV crew came to interview her. And when they came to interview her, in the interview, she was telling the TV crew that, you know, I'm having this cancer, but still I'm so blissful remembering Krishna. Just the thought of remembering Krishna, the thing I'm doing devotional service, just giving me a lot of ecstasy. And she told the TV crew that, you know, actually it's the Lord's grace on me that I have got this cancer. You know, this went, you know, bouncers over the TV crew, you know, they could not fathom it. But, you know, when they saw this lady, when she saw Kunti Maharani, but, you know, her body language, her expression, and she really meant it. You know, the TV crews were so inspired. They did the show for the whole state. And the TV crews were talking on the TV that this lady, Kunti Devi, she's got this cancer, but she's still so happy, she's so blissful. And she's saying that, you know, it is Krishna's mercy that she has got this cancer. And she's saying that it's God's mercy on me. You know, the TV crew was talking so highly of her. Then Kunti Mataji, she went to New Vrindavan because she wanted to leave her body there. And, you know, she could hardly move. You know, she could hardly lift up a book also. So when she was on a bed, one devotee gave her a computer where Prabhupada's books were there. And she would just constantly always be reading Prabhupada's books. Always be reading Prabhupada's books. And whenever devotees would come, she would tell the devotees that, please tell me something about Krishna. Tell me something about Prabhupada. With so much eagerness she would be telling. And she would be radiating so much positive energy that any devotee who came in the room, they were filled with spiritual positivity. And Kunti Mataji, she was basically 24 hours her body was in pain. 24 hours her body was in pain. But she was so ecstatic still in spite of all these challenges and her body in pain. And she was telling the devotees that all my 25 years I've been reading Prabhupada's books. But now since I've got this cancer and I know I'm going to die, when I read each word of Prabhupada, I feel special spiritual energy. And I've never experienced such ecstasy and such closeness to Prabhupada, such closeness to Krishna ever before. She was telling that. And then she was telling to the devotees that I would not like to change my disposition for any position in this whole universe. She's not saying this planet Earth, you know. If the president of USA wants to exchange my position, everyone will be ready. But she's saying, I don't want to change my this position which I am in now with anyone in this whole creation. Because I'm feeling so close to Prabhupada. I'm feeling so close to being spiritual. And then, obviously, she left her body in the most Krishna conscious manner. So, I'm saying, what proof does one want that Krishna consciousness works? Huh? These are the small proofs which shows that Krishna consciousness works not 99%, it works 100%. So, it is time. We will end the class here. So, if anyone has any questions or any comments to make, you're most welcome. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram, Ram Ram.